trying to scratch his ear with his leg.
"Do,"
he said. Wolfgang's gleaming body dipped a moment as he changed hands again. "City life makes men weak. Vimes will be fun. They do say he likes running, though," he gave a little laugh. "We shall have to see how fast he is. His wife says he's very soft-hearted. Guy, don't you dare do that! If you're going to do that sort of thing, do it upstairs!" The Baron looked only moderately ashamed, but readjusted his clothing anyway.
"Bandits," he said.
"Yes, they could be a problem at this time of the year," said Wolfgang.
"At least a dozen," said the Baroness.
"Yes, that should—"
Wolf grunted upside down.
"No, Mother, you are being stupid. His coach must get here safely, you understand? When he is here, that is a different matter."
The Baron's massive eyebrows tangled with a thought.
"Plan, King!"
"Exactly,"
the Baroness sighed.
"I don't trust that little dwarf."
Wolf somersaulted onto his feet.
"No, but trustworthy or not, he's all we've got. Vimes must get here with his soft heart. He may even be useful. Perhaps we should assist matters."
"Why?" snapped the Baroness. "Let Ankh-Morpork look after their own."
There was a knock on the door while Vimes was having breakfast. Willikins ushered in a small, thin man in neat but threadbare black clothes, whose over-large head gave him the appearance of a lolly nearing the last suck. He carried a black bowler hat the way a soldier carries his helmet, and walked like a man who had something wrong with his knees.
"I'm so sorry to disturb your Grace."
Vimes laid down his knife. He'd been peeling an orange. Sybil insisted he eat fruit.
"Not your Grace," he said, "just Vimes. Sir Samuel, if you must. Are you veterinary's man?"
"Inigo Skimmers, I am to travel with you to Ubervelt."
"Ah, you're the clerk who's going to do all the whispering and winking while I hand round the cucumber sandwiches, are you?"
"I will try to be of service, sir, although I'm not much of a winker."
"Would you like some breakfast?"
"I ate already, sir."
Vimes looked the clerk up and down. It wasn't so much that his head was big. It was simply that someone appeared to have squeezed the bottom half of it and forced everything up into the top. He was going bald, too, and had carefully teased the remaining strands of hair across the pink dome. It was hard to tell his age. He could be 25 and a big warrior, or a fresh-faced 40. Vimes inclined to the former. The man had the look of someone who'd spent his life watching the world over the top of a book. And there was that, well, was it a nervous laugh, a giggle, an unfortunate way of clearing his throat? And that strange way he walked.
"Not even some toast? A piece of fruit? These oranges are fresh from Clatch. I really can recommend them."
Vimes tossed one at the man. It bounced off his arm and Skimmer took a step backwards, mildly appalled at the upper class's habit of fruit hurling.
"Are you all right, sir?"
"Sorry about that," said Vimes. "I was carried away by fruit."
He laid aside his napkin and got up from the table, putting his arm around Skimmer's shoulders.
"I'll just take you to the mildly yellow drawing room where you can wait," he said, walking him towards the door and patting him on the arm in a friendly way. "The coaches are loaded up. Sybil is regrouting the bathroom, learning ancient Clatchin and doing all those other little last-minute things women always do. You're with us in the big coach."
Skimmer recoiled.
"No, I couldn't do that, sir. I'll travel with your retinue."
"If you mean cheering detritus, they're in there with us," said Vimes,
noting the look of horror deepen slightly.
"You need four for a decent game of cards, and the road's as boring as hell for most of the way."
"And your servants?"
"Willikins and the cook and Sybil's maid are in the other coach."
"Oh."
Vimes smiled inwardly. He remembered the saying from his childhood, "Too poor to paint, but too proud to whitewash."
"Bit of a tough choice, is it?" he said. "I'll tell you what. You can come in our coach, but we'll give you a hard seat and patronise you from time to time. How about that?"
"I'm afraid you're making a mockery of me, Sir Samuel."
"No, but I may be assisting. And now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to nip down to the yard to sort out a few last-minute things."
A quarter of an hour later, Vimes walked into the charge room at the yard. Sergeant Strong in the Arm looked up, saluted, and then ducked to avoid the orange that was tossed at his head.
"Sir?"
he said, bewildered.